West West, y'all.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Late Returns Film Review. Man, you know, this is one of my favorite podcasts to do, man, because I'm a lover of movies, especially movies we grew up back in the days. And we have to also Eric. What's up, Eric?
What's up, man? Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and you know, we are ready to go because every time we got an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from the 80s to talk about, we're there, man. We're there, brother. My brother here from the Intercept the Clip podcast. We're going to review for you today the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Total Recall.
Call Recall. For the memory of your ideal vacation.
You were interested in a memory of...
Mars.
You're going to love this, Doug.
Yeah, but how real does it seem?
As real as any memory in your head. You are on your most important mission.
Do you want to know the future?
What about the past?
You
are not you. You're me.
They erased your identity and implanted a new one.
Watto wants what's in Quaid's head.
You're qualified.
Wrong.
If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
You wouldn't hurt me. We're married.
Consider that a divorce.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here.
Look who's talking.
My name is not Quaid.
And now we could have total recall.
I want Quaid delivered for reimplantation.
Get
you. Get ready for a surprise.
Kill them all!
You think this is the real Quaid? It is.
Hope you enjoy the ride.
So, Total Recall, directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, the guy that did Robocop.
Came out in
1990, so it was pretty fresh up there.
Yeah, 1990. We would have been, I think, started high school.
Yeah.
Oh no, started intermediate. 1990. We would have been Form 1 at Henderson Intermediate. We would have been 12 years old. Do you remember the first time you watched this film?
You know, the honest truth, I don't think I remember when I watched it, but I know I was older when I watched it. Because it wasn't on my radar back then. But it looked like one of those hard-out drama movies, and man, when you're young, I was just interested in action, bro. Fuck, I don't give a shit about drama.
Because, you know, you now love sci-fi.
Yeah.
You always come on the chat, you tell us how much you love sci-fi. You're watching the latest sci-fi movies. So you weren't into sci-fi back then, 1990?
Nah,
this would have been a movie that would be on your list right now.
Yeah, because it was one of the... I did hear about it, and I heard it was pretty gruesome. It was, like, gross. Like, they were talking about the alien scenes and stuff, and I was like, oh, nah, I'm not down for that shit. Because I remember watching Alien when it first came out. And I think I watched it just before this came out. And the scene with the... in the kitchen where the alien busted out the guy's chest, that freaked me out for the rest of my life, man. So anything to do with aliens and sci-fi, I was like, no way, especially when I was young. Yeah. I was freaked out, man. But, you know, Arnold was my favorite action star. He was the man back in the day.
Yeah, man, hard out, especially in the 80s, man, because you had Arnold Schwarzenegger, you had Sylvester Stallone. So when this movie came out, 1990, his previous movie was comedy. And probably his first comedy the day, which was Twins with Danny DeVito.
Yep.
Before that was Red Heat, and before that was The Running Man, which probably was his kind of first sci-fi, The Running Man. But
yeah,
that's if you consider Predator as sci-fi as well, which came out in 1987. So I think in the 80s, end of the 80s, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger at that time cemented himself as the biggest action star. And we were just hyped to any movie Arnold was in there. For me, anyway, to come out, I'll just watch anything that Arnold was in.
Yeah, I'm the same. Anything that his name's on, yeah, I'll watch it. Mm. But this one, I was hesitant to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw it. I think I saw that at the video store.
Yeah, I saw it on VHS. I saw it on VHS.
When it came out on video. This podcast is called Late Returns Film Review. Do you remember which video store you took this out? Because I remember taking this out from probably the Civic, up where we are.
Up at Lanark.
Yeah, up at Lanark, Swanson.
Same place.
Mm.
I usually get them when I'm either sick or it's Friday.
Yeah.
And then Friday, then after school, go home, and then Mum will take us to the video store, or Dad. And then I'll have a choice of two movies, and they'll have a choice of two as well.
Mm.
And yeah, watch their movies first before mine.
Yeah, exactly. But that year it came out, 1990. I'm just looking at some other movies that came out that year too. And there's RoboCop 2 came out that year. We've got Darkman. Some of these action movies. Back to the Future 3 came out that year. Pretty Woman came out. Dick Tracy. Hard to Kill. Steven Seagal. Arachnophobia came out. I remember that was a big one for me at the movies. Goodfellas, that came out that year. Misery of James Caan and Kathy Bates. Gremlins 2 came out. Yeah, man, so...
I was a big fan of Gremlins.
Yeah. Part 2 was crap, but I liked Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
A Ghost came out. Oh, 1990. But in 1990, Arnold came out of two movies, actually. Total Recall and Kindergarten Cop, the same year.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I think it's still the height of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Amen.
Hold up, man. Like, watching it again, I really enjoyed it this time around. But it's actually better than the remake. Because I've seen the remake to it. And, yeah, it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same.
I can't even... I watched the remake too, but I can't even remember it, eh?
That's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was bad, eh?
Yeah.
I might watch it again, just to refresh my memory.
I think it was too modern. It was modernized for the next generation, but... Yeah, no, it was kind of weak.
It's funny, yeah, because when I watched this movie to research for the podcast, like I thought that it aged, but I think they shouldn't have, because the original was pretty good anyway.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I feel that they shouldn't have done a remake on it at all.
But I get it. I think with technologies changing, CGI, that you can make these special effects much better than they were in 1990 when the first Total Recall came out. But you know, it's funny because when I was thinking about Back to the Future Part 2, because if you watch Back to the Future Part 2 and you go into the future, remember this movie was made in the 80s,
yeah.
I think, and it's there what they thought the future would be.
Mm.
And if you think about it, nowhere near is the future, eh? Like, you know when they had flying cars in Part 2 of Back to the Future? Well, there's still no flying cars yet, man. So they got that wrong.
Even the hoverboards, bro. I was waiting for the hoverboards to somebody to make one. Still, nobody has.
It's in the future, right? And humans inhabit Mars now. But the technology is still off, eh?
Yeah, it is. Apart from the recall itself, you know, how you wanting to go into another dream, another reality kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that's happening now, almost.
Yeah, true, eh?
Like so it's like...
The neuro stuff, eh?
Yeah, so it's kind of partway there, because everybody's already using virtual reality anyway.
It's probably the... only thing in the whole movie that sort of relates to the future, eh?
Yeah.
I know Elon Musk tried to go to Mars, so...
He's still keen, bro. That guy's crazy.
So maybe the Mars thing isn't too far off, I guess, eh, in the future. We could probably go to Mars, I don't know. Elon Musk is trying to get to Mars anyway. But I think that and you're right, the neuro side of things, the putting, implanting memories in your head. You know, that kind of thing in the future, eh?
Yeah.
But everything else to me, I think it's not... Because one of the things I notice, no one's on their phones.
Yeah.
No one's got
cell phones.
There's no cell phones.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's communicating with their big telephone screen thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have to talk in like a telephone for the other person to hear. I was laughing at this.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Right. I think we'll touch that later on when we get to the categories of what doesn't age well. But those are the first things I noticed. But at the time, what are your thoughts on the cultural impact of this film at the time? Well, for me, I thought that the whole sci-fi part of it, I remember thinking, okay, this is sci-fi, but there's no lasers. They're still shooting machine guns. And there's not really, you know, so when you think of outer space, you think of Star Wars and all that.
Oh, like phasers and stuff.
Yeah, with lasers and, you know, with your Star Trek, you got your phasers. Mm. With Star Wars, you got your blasters. But with Total Recall, you're in the future, but you're still using machine guns, still using bullets, you know. So to me, I thought that was different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I got out of it. But I think when I first saw the Johnny Cab, like I was amazed that, car that drives itself, you know.
I was scared, man. That thing just freaked me out. I was
like, yeah, exactly. That robot and the Francine, the Johnny Cab, you know? They freaked me out. Because we never experienced special effects as to the max as when we saw this, eh? Because there's a lot of special effects in this movie that I think back in the day when I was a kid watching it, I would thought, man, how amazing, you know? And we'll probably pick some of these scenes up in the categories, but yeah, I thought the special effects at the time were really good.
Yeah, same. I remember. Yeah, I thought they were really, really good. And then it was funny when you watch it now, eh?
And then just Arnold himself, you know, just constantly making action movies, you know, and for Arnold being in space, you know, put him in a different environment, you know, it's exciting to wanting to know what's going to happen. Because we're used to him, you know, fighting the bad guys back at home in normal prison day, that kind of stuff. But you know, this is a different environment for him. Oh, we had Running Man before. So this is just an extension to that.
Yeah, because it's usually him either taking revenge for something or someone, whatever they've done to him. But in this case, it's like a mind game type of thing.
Mm.
But you don't get the answer to the story until the end. Or, well, partly to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then you understand it more.
And I remember back then, as a kid, like, I enjoyed this movie for all its action. But not understanding the storyline. Like, when I watch it now, and I think of the incentive Douglas Quaid has in his alter ego, how's it? Like, see, I didn't understand what the motives were for the bad guy. Cohagen?
Yeah.
Like, here's a guy that is on Mars, and he controls the air, right? Mm-hmm. And he's come across alien technology that would make Mars into an Earth, like take away all the carbon dioxide and turn it into oxygen.
Yeah, well, give it its own atmosphere.
So he wants to keep that a secret, right?
Yeah.
And Hauser, he's his, like, second in charge, right? But they need to find Quarto, right?
Yeah, Quarto, the mutant.
Yeah, because he's part of the resistance. So they erase Hauser's memory to put him on Earth, so he can rise and show them who Quarto is, so they can kill Quarto. That's the storyline, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
That's the part of the story that I'm a bit confused with, because, okay, they erase his memory. How did they know that he was going to get, you know, go to Total Recall in the first place?
What was he supposed to go to Total Recall? Because I thought that they're trying to get him to avoid to go there.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to avoid, like, the only two people that knew the plan was Hauser and Cohagen.
Yeah.
Everybody else was oblivious to the plan, but they just play the role.
What is the plan in your view? And I'll tell you what I think it was, but you tell me what the plan was, because it's sort of really confusing, eh?
Yeah, because I think Hauser and Cohagen planned together how they can infiltrate to get to Quarto, because they didn't know, because he could sniff them out, like Cohagen was saying, they couldn't get close to him. So maybe he was like, okay, maybe I could get close to him somehow from one of his henchmen. And then I think Hauser came across Melinda, which she was part of the resistance, and he kind of figured that out. And he knew that she had tight ties to Quarto, and then probably was thinking, hey, maybe I could get in that way. But using erasing my memory and coming off as somebody else and then leaving little clues behind, thinking that make this guy think that he's the hero, but in actual fact, he's doing what I'm telling him to do by leaving these clues behind. Because he leaves the suitcase behind in that, you know, for him to advance to go to Mars, and he tells him that he was betrayed by Cohagen. And he's actually fighting with the resistance, but he wasn't. It was all a ploy.
To find Quarto, eh?
Yeah, so the whole idea was for Douglas Quaid to go back to Mars, friend Malena, and then infiltrate the resistance group, and then, find Quaido and bring the resistance down.
I'm still confused. Because, okay, here's how I think it is, right? So Cohagen and Hauser, they need to kill Quarto. That's their mission, right?
Mm.
So we have Melina, who's in the resistance. So that's their way to get to Quarto. So who's going out with Melina? Is it Hauser or? It's Hauser. And then, so somewhere along the line, he couldn't get to Quarto. So from then, they had to erase his memories. But the reason why? What's the reason?
Oh, yeah, true.
They erase his memory. They put him on Earth.
Yeah.
They give him a fake wife. What's the whole reason for that? Seems confusing to me.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, but it is confusing.
Like, what's Sharon Stone got to do with anything? Why are they keeping them on Earth?
Because the only people that know the plan is Cohagen and Hauser. Even Sharon Stone or the Michael Ironside's character doesn't even know what's going on. Because he's dying to kill Quaid. He's like, nah, I want to kill this motherfucker. Fuck that guy, he just fucked my girlfriend. So he's like, nah, fuck that shit. But he doesn't know the plan.
Yeah. So, you know, even now I'm confused. I'm confused about the whole thing. But, you know, it's one of these movies where you don't even care because it's like the action. You follow the action, takes over. Who cares about the fucking story, you know? the incentive of the bad guys and, you know, you're just enjoying the movie.
It does make you think that way. But, yeah, I would like to think that they probably knew what was going to happen. And because Cohagen was like, oh, yeah, all went to plan. And then he was like, hey! How did you know it was going to happen like that?
Yeah, exactly. See, it doesn't make sense to me. See, but I don't know. It's whatever it was, whatever the plan was, it gave us an enjoyable action movie.
Yeah, I just remember when I was young, I had no idea what was going on, but I knew that, man, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
And Arnold's the man.
Yeah. So, you talked a little bit about why you didn't want to watch this movie in the first place. You watched Aliens, but now you're really into sci-fi. Why do you like sci-fi?
Oh, man, that goes back to Star Wars, bro.
Yeah.
Ever since I watched Star Wars, I was like, fuck, I was already in Star Wars, mate. After Star Wars, First Hope, man, that was me.
Hmm.
I bought everything Star Wars. So
yeah, sci-fi, man. Same as me, man. Cool. That's why I like the sci-fi. But I like the horror version of it, too. Horror version of sci-fi, of Aliens. Mm. The action version, like with Aliens, the second one.
Yeah, that's when Aliens came out, I enjoyed that side of it. Because there was like a military group going against aliens. So I was like, oh, do they have a chance? And not really.
Yeah.
You find out in the movie, no, they don't have a chance, but they do a good job.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that narrative about the storyline.
Mm.
It was different.
So, speaking of the storyline, so this story was written by Philip K. Dick. Now, that guy... He is a popular sci-fi author, and he did Minority Report. He wrote Minority Report. He wrote Blade Runner, and he wrote Scanner Darkly, with they made into a movie with Keanu Reeves. It's a cartoon. Have you seen that?
Oh, sure. No.
Yeah. So he's a pretty popular. He's dead now, Philip K. Dick, but he's a popular sci-fi guy. You know. Hmm. But yeah, like we talked before, it's a confusing plot line with the incentive of the bad guys, but the action overtakes it, like we said, and it doesn't really matter in the end, you know. So this movie is directed by Paul Verhoeven. He's famous for movies like Basic Instinct, RoboCop, Starship Troopers, and his style is like ultra violent stuff.
Fuck yeah, bro.
And ultra sex stuff. Because he did Showgirls as well.
Yeah, he likes his characters to be involved in like really dramatic scenes.
Mm.
Especially sexual or violence. Mm. He just loved the gore and violence as well, eh?
Yeah, and that was something I picked up with the gore part of it. Because he really exaggerates the death scenes. Even with all his movies, like even when he did RoboCop, you know the scene where RoboCop went into a 9 kills the executive?
Yeah.
And yeah, he blows him away and he rips him apart and see all the blood, eh? Just splatter everywhere.
That deserves a slow-mo, very straight.
I mean, but the way he films those scenes when someone gets bullet riddled, it's like exaggerated, eh? Massive squibs planted on the actor.
Yeah.
There's giant explosions on their body, eh? And you see that in Total Recall.
Yeah, it does show up in Total Recall. Especially, there's a scene where Arnold's coming up, the escalator is getting chased.
Yeah, and he uses the civilian gets shot and uses him as a shield.
But you see the civilian's chest there is just like popping like fireworks.
Yeah.
But you know, pouches of blood just going everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. And that's so similar scenes in RoboCop, eh?
Fuck,
but that's
yeah.
But that's Paul Verhoeven style, you know.
Yeah,
I think he's really good at. He really brings out that he exaggerates the day.
Yeah,
to make it look better.
The other thing too, did you notice is now they have those little ads on the TV.
Yeah,
there's another thing too. It's violent, but it's kind of funny in a way.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really big in I think it's really big in our RoboCop.
Yeah, we see it first at RoboCop when he has sort of like a social commentary on stuff shown through ads, advertisements. RoboCop is a good example. He does it here in Total Recall with the ad for Total Recall, where you go.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're right, in Starship Troopers, there's those army ads to join the army.
Yeah, and it shows them, they're all dying there, and he goes, join now.
Yeah.
We need you.
Yeah, that's right. And he gets the same actors too, like Michael Ironside. He's grabbed for Starship Troopers.
Yeah, that's right.
Michael Ironside is a bad guy in Total Recall. He plays Richter. Yeah, man. Sharon Stone's in this one. And it looks like, because he did Basic Instinct after this movie, this was probably Sharon Stone's audition for Basic Instinct, eh?
Yeah, because she did it afterwards, eh?
Yeah.
Because that's where she really shined after Basic Instincts, and that was it. She had the Hollywood star.
Yeah, that's right. And I think she has a bit of she has a couple of like sexy moments in Total Recall. That's probably sort of Paul Verhoeven's sort of, oh yeah, you look good for Basic Instinct. Eh.
Yeah, some eye candy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Even watching the movie now, I was like, oh shit, she was that bad.
So I'm supposed to think he's a big star still, you know, he just finished Twins. Kindergarten Cop comes out next, then Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Man, he's got movies after this movie that just gets him further and further up the mountain, eh?
Yeah.
He's already up the mountain at this point, but man.
He just takes it.
Yeah, like, well, when Terminator 2 comes out in 1991, bro, game over, you know?
I don't like it though.
So he's a big star. Sharon Stone, this is probably her first movie that's probably gets her a little bit recognized there.
Yep. And then she gets in the Basic Instincts. Casino, The Quick and the Dead, which is, it's okay. I rather prefer her in Casino. Basic Instincts in Casino.
Yeah. But she does, but before Total Recall, I remember she was in King Solomon's Mine.
Quatermain.
Yeah,
I remember Quatermain
and Lost City of Gold, she's in there.
Yeah, I remember that.
She's in Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Fuck, man, I love that movie too, Quatermain, Lost City of Gold.
She's she's in a lot of movies before 90, but she's not really a big star.
Nah. Wow. She was more like PG at that time. And then she just went fully to the restricted 18, man. XXX material shit. Damn.
Yeah. Who else does in this? Michael Ironside. He's a character. I thought this was the first time I seen him as a bad guy. Because I remember him in that movie V.
V.
Remember V? He was the good guy in V.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That movie with the reptiles and the aliens.
Man, I hated that movie.
Oh, it's the movie. It was a TV series, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, when they swallowed those fucking rats. That's all I remember from that movie. Yeah. I remember him in the next Karate Kid.
Right.
He was the bad guy in there. He was,
Was he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like the security of the high school. But the way he was teaching the guys in security, it was more like a military approach.
Yeah.
And he was a dick about it. He was a real hardcore dick about it. I remember him in that and Starship Troopers.
Yeah, he was the general way on Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
He died, eh?
Yeah, yeah. He told the main character, I think, to kill him or something. Before the bugs killed him.
Yeah.
Man, you know who I was surprised to see out there?
What?
On the list was Dean Norris.
Yeah, from Breaking Bad.
Bro,
he's Tony.
I didn't realize that was him, with their fucked up mask.
The scar on his one eye. Yeah, you can tell because of his teeth.
Nah, I only could tell is when he opened up the door, the way he opened up the door. I was like, hey, I've seen him open up the door like that on Breaking Bad.
I just recognized him with his teeth when he started talking. But Dean Norris, he plays Hank on Breaking Bad. He plays Tony in this movie, Total Recall. Yeah. Let's dive into the categories now. So the first up in the categories is the most iconic scenes. Okay, so...
The mask.
So, yep, there's the woman in disguise. she comes to customs and it's Douglas Quaid underneath. That's a iconic scene. So I think that came in the trailer and all that, eh? And it's what's been shown on the artwork when you look at the artwork of this film. Definitely the intro scene when Quaid falls down the cliff and his eyes pop out and he wakes up. Another scene is Quaid at the Total Recall lab.
Yep.
The red ball up his nose scene. The fight with his wife, Sharon Stone, the first one.
Yep, yep.
The Mars strip club scene. And when Quato is revealed, there's that scene.
It's haunting.
How many iconic scenes have you got?
No, just quite the mask. Yeah, I was thinking of the Quato, but man, it's still haunting. It comes out of the stomach. I was like, fuck.
Well, let's talk about that, because here we have the resistance base, right? And the guy that, there's a guy, I don't know his name, but he tells Douglas Quaid, let's go see Quato, and takes him to this other room.
Yeah.
And then he turns around, and it looks like he's masturbating, but he's not, because he opens up his chest, and then a fucking ugly-ass alien pops out of his stomach.
What do you want, Mr. Quaid?
The same as you, to remember.
But why?
To be myself again.
You are what you do. A man is defined by his action, not his memory. Please, take my hand. Now open your mind to me, please. Open your mind.
Right. And this is when we first see the quality of the special effects. Because when I look at the guy, he is actually a dummy. He looks like a dummy.
Yeah, it was like a mask on another mask, like before when Arnold had the mask of himself.
Yeah.
With the other mask on.
But how ugly is fucking Quato, man? Hey.
Quato looked like the doll from Child's Play.
True, eh? I could see that, too. That's what reminded me, too, when I looked at it. His mouth.
With the mouth and his fucking eyes.
Yeah.
It's a fucking doll.
But you know what, man, makes it more freaky? The tone of his voice. It's real calm, eh? Open your mind, you know?
Yeah. Like that. Fuck.
To be honest, man, that scene's fucking disgusting, eh?
Yeah. It reminded me of transition class at WITEC.
Why?
When we used to lie down and close your eyes. It was similar to something like that. I'm like, fuck, bro. What the hell?
Shit. Glad I wasn't in that transition class then. Yeah. But, man, that, I don't know if it was the special effects or the puppetry or whatever, but, man, that was kind of yucky.
Yeah, I think there was probably that whole entire scene could be done better now. But at the time, you know, back in the 80s, that's all they had, which was good enough. Well, it freaked the shit out of me, so that it was good enough.
Which is probably the reason why they made a remake. Because I can't remember the quarter one, the new one. I gotta watch the new one. I gotta watch the remake, see how different it is. Is the storyline still the same?
Tell you the truth, I forgot, eh?
Yeah,
I recently watched the movie too. It was like this year, and then I forgot about it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna go watch it.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah. So there's that scene. So there's the red ball. He gets the bug up his nose scene.
Yep.
First, let's get rid of the bug in your head. Take this thing out of the case and stick it up your nose. Don't worry, it's self-guiding. Just shove real hard. When you hear the crunch, you're there. Just pull it out. Be careful. It's my head too.
So again, the special effects is, you can tell it's a puppet. When he sticks the thing up his nose and grabs, that's a massive fucking ball, eh, to be up your head and come out your nose. I don't know if it can even fit, eh?
But you start to see a trend, eh? Like, even in some scenes of Robocop, you see some of the puppetry being done in that movie as well.
Mm.
Especially with the scene where Murphy gets his ass shot to pieces.
It's cartoonish, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
But that was the limit. That was the limit of their technology back then, though.
Well, I think Paul Verhoeven's style, like he's his movies are ultra violent, especially his violent movies and cartoonish too. Like we spoke about the big squibs they put on the actors and the massive blood, the gunshots and that, and it's exaggerated, but it's also cartoonish.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And even that scene you just said about Robocop when Alex Murphy gets killed by Clarence, like that's cartoonish. But I think that's kind of style. So I thought at the time it was like. Weird that a big ball like that can fit up your nose.
Like, there's no way that shit can fit up there.
Mm.
Doesn't make any sense. It's kind of stupid.
The other scene that sticks up and around about that scene was when Richter shows up and there's no one there, but he puts the check in the chocolate bar that the rats eat.
Ah, oh, yeah, yeah, and then the rats.
When Richter blows away that rat, see all that blood? There, a lot of bloody. With splatters on the TV screen. But man, I think that blotch of blood was bigger than the rat, man.
There was more blood than the rat.
Yeah, way man. More blood. Yeah. The fight with Quaid's wife.
Hi, honey. What are you doing?
Some men just tried to kill me.
Muggers? Are you all right?
No, they were spies or something. And Harry from work, he was the... Get down! Harry from work, he was the boss.
Take it easy, Doug, okay? Tell me exactly what happened. Why would spies want to kill you?
I don't know, but it had something to do with Mars.
Mars? You've never even been to Mars.
I know, it sounds crazy. But see, I went to this recall place after work.
You went to those brain butchers?
Let me finish.
What did they do to you? Tell me.
I got a trip to Mars. And so what happened was... Well, forget about recall, Doug. Will you? These guys were going to kill me.
Doug, nobody tried to kill you.
They did, but I killed them.
This is when he comes back from recall and he reveals to Sharon Stone that he remembers Mars and all that shit. And then he goes in the bathroom. She rings up Richter. We see him for the first time on the TV screen. And then the next scene when Douglas comes out of the bathroom, the lights are off and then he avoids gunfire with a strange silhouette shooting at him. And when he turns on the light and grabs the person, it's his wife, and he's shocked. And then Sharon Stone kicks his ass. But then it was weird because, you know, they're fighting. She's kicking his ass. He punches him in the balls twice. She grabs the kitchen knife, slices his chest. And then after all that, what does he do? He throws her away. He throws her over the counter.
He gets her in like an arm lock first. Yeah. Disarms the knife, and then he
throws it off the counter. And then next minute they stop fighting and sit down and have a chat. What? What? And so, you know, this is how calm he is, you know, because she's telling them that it's not real, it's a dream. She's not really his wife. He's pining there. And he takes it like it's nothing.
Yeah. He's like, what?
I say, I'm going to go, you're trying to slash me with the... kitchen knife trying to stab me, shooting at me. And next minute we're just sitting down having a chat, trying to catch our breath. Fuck.
He was seriously considering the kinky sex, bro. That's why.
Oh, yeah, he was considering that. And then he turns around and sees that that Richter and his men are on their way.
Turns to her,
and what does he say? What's the line? He says, clever girl. Punches her in the face. Punches her in the face and she gets knocked out and he takes off.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah, nice knowing you.
I love his one-liners, bro.
So yeah, again, that's one thing we haven't touched on, is one-liners. So he's got more one-liners than this one, eh? But yeah. I feel like these one-liners don't stick.
Nah.
Hey, not like his. Yeah, not as... They don't stick like I'll be back.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper or hasta la vista. But I think the one closest, but I'll mention it when we get to the most favorite quotes. But I think one is close. I think one is close, but we'll get to that. So what was your thoughts on that scene, on the fighting with Sharon Stone?
No, exactly the same as yours. Yeah, I knew you were getting to that part where they both sit down and talk. I was like, what the fuck? Like watching it back then, I was like, oh, you know, your kid didn't understand. Yeah. But watching it now, I was like, Sonny, fucking, don't put your gun down, man. Shit. Crazy. Doesn't make sense.
Another iconic scene is when Quaid goes to Total Recall Lab and he's sitting down in the chair ready to get go under, and he's picking his holiday. So he picks the holiday, he picks Mars. This is part of the storyline because we know that his memory is erased. He thinks he's Douglas Quaid. He goes to Total Recall. At this point, is Cohagen, he doesn't want him to go to Total Recall, or does he want him to go to Total Recall to get his memory back? Or get some of his memory back.
That's the part I don't get. How did they do? How did Helsa and Cohagen know that he was going to go to Total Recall?
Yeah, because I feel like, because if they're going to plant all these people around him to look after him, like his, like Sharon Stone and Harry, the guy that does work, to look after him.
Yeah.
They were actually trying to stop him from going to Total Recall.
Which actually made him go to Total Recall in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think they knew that.
And when after they went to Total Recall, they tried to kill him. But why were they trying to kill him when Cohagen needed him alive to, for him to go to find where Koala was? See?
Well, Richter really wanted him dead. You know how he...
Does Richter want him dead because he didn't know what the plan was?
No, Richter wanted him dead. You remember when they had the first phone call with him in the car?
Yeah.
And he was going, oh, sorry, there's a problem with my...
Yeah.
I think it's the sunlight, and he just turns it off.
That's right. And because Cohagen doesn't want him dead, eh?
No, but Richter wants him dead.
Yeah, so that's the way the communication falls, eh?
Yeah, because that's why he had that talk with him when he came back to Mars, saying that, you do what I tell you to do, Cohagen told Richter. You do what I tell you to do, you don't need to know enough about the plan. You just need to know enough to do what I tell you to do.
Hmm.
So it's like, okay, just do what I say, and that's it. That's all you need to do.
So the plan was to get Quaid to Total Recall.
Maybe. Because that was the only way for it to activate Hauser again, kind of. But
yeah.
But because he was still Douglas Quaid.
Yeah.
Still acting like he's the hero.
Mm.
Yeah, it's fucking messy,
eh? It's fucking messy, man. But anyway, the scene is iconic because of the whole lab and his picking his holiday.
To be perfectly honest with you, Doug, if outer space is your thing, I think you would be much happier with one of our Saturn cruises. Everybody raves about them.
No, I'm not interested in Saturn. I said Mars.
Okay. You're the boss. Mars it is.
And the whole concept of going into a place to get memories of a holiday and coming out and then having those memories, eh?
Yeah.
It's pretty out of it.
Yeah, the other part was like, you know, you could have a package with it, like a spy or, you know, some other. I forgot the other options, but I remember the spy one. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll be the spy.
And then you can pick a. The funny part for me in that scene was when he was picking this woman, picking that girl. So he picks brunette.
So, how do you like your women? Blonde? Brunette? Redhead?
Brunette.
Slim, athletic, voluptuous.
Athletic.
Demure, aggressive, sleazy, be honest.
Sleazy.
You know, athletic, then sleazy.
Yeah.
And then, what was pretty cool was the lady that was doing it and her assistant. Because that reminded me of Robocop, with the people doing Robocop.
Yeah.
Like the girl with the glasses and the other scientists putting Robocop.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's not the same actor, but it's the same kind of scene. We have the girl in charge and you have the assistants around. So that reminded me a bit of Robocop.
Yeah, but,
true. It's funny, because she has that injection thing.
Yeah.
Dreamline, I think she calls it.
Yeah,
she puts it on his neck and shoots it. That's a common kind of injection in sci-fi movies, eh?
Yeah, it's always in the neck.
Because when I saw that, I said, man, that's in heaps of movies, that injection.
Hard up, bro.
I think it's in Star Trek, eh?
It's in, they did it on Robocop 2 with the, what was it? Is it Nuke? That drug?
Oh, yeah.
Where they give it like a little tss. on the neck.
I was
like, what the hell?
Yeah. And then he goes crazy, and then she gets that ejection thing and fucking shoots him like, what, 8 times?
Yeah, with a fucking, probably horse tranquilizer.
You think you would have died, eh? Of that much overdose.
Man, I don't know how many times it was, but it was a lot.
And then they have an argument with the guy, the administrator guy, and she actually slaps the assistant name, remember?
Listen to me. He has been going on and on about Mars. He has really been there.
Use your head, you dumb bitch. He's just acting out the secret agent portion of his ego trip.
I'm afraid that's not possible.
Why not?
Because we haven't implanted it yet.
Oh, shit.
I've been trying to tell you. Someone has erased his memory.
Wait, excuse me. Someone? I mean, we're talking about the fucking agency.
Shut up! Bob, the client's gone.
To me, seeing that happen was like extreme, eh?
Yeah.
Like the guy calls her a bitch for... Remember? He goes, you dumb bitch. Calls her a dumb bitch. And because she says, we haven't even injected them with the memory thing yet.
Yeah.
You know?
As he walks away.
Yeah.
And he's like, he realizes, oh, fuck, I got to reimburse his money.
And then tells them to put him in the cab and just drive off.
I don't know if it's me, but I reckon this movie's well-paced.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, right through the movie, it's well-paced in a way where I understand the story, I'm going with the story, and the story ends, and then I kind of get it, kind of. But I'm left with whether it's a dream or not.
Well, I really like the pacing of the scenes after he fights Sharon Stone for the first time. And then then Richter comes in and the whole chase.
Cat and mouse thing, yeah.
Yeah, the cat and mouse chase that ends when he escapes in the train. And they're just like blasting the train and shooting all the innocents. Say, wow, just no care in the world.
That's the thing I like about Michael Ironside, how he pulls off his characters. He just goes for gold.
He's a great actor, for that bad guy.
Yeah, he's a good villain, bro. Straight up good villain.
Other scenes I've got, on Mars, we go to the strip club.
Which
I don't know,
that?
But that's the most brightest strip club I've ever seen. It's like the lights are on, you know, everyone's passing in corners, you know. It's not like, I don't know, in the future, you know, there's no such thing as dark, dark strip clubs. Do you remember the first time you saw the scene and you saw the girl with three tits?
Fuck, you didn't make me check on my drink, bro. Yeah, no.
Do you remember what you thought when were you watching that with your family when that scene came up?
my mom covered my eyes. I was going, see, like, mom, I've already seen boobies. But I was like, but I've never seen three.
Bro, I don't think I didn't think anything when I first saw the three tits like that. Because it was so weird that you just know it's not true. You know, you just know it's like fucking weird and it's not sexy at all, you know what I mean?
It was, I think for me, it was more of a shock. I was like, oh shit, really? they come in threes? Shit. that will probably be up there with one of the most iconic scenes, I reckon.
What, the three titties? Because when I watched that recently, when I saw them, again, I was thinking, okay, I remember three titties back in the days, but I never remember being excited seeing three titties, you know?
Nah, I wasn't excited.
Because how fake it looked, you know? It looked so fake. Like, that just killed it. But I didn't even know if three titties would be attractive anyway. But there's that other scene later on when, is it Benny? He's feeling them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He's at the bottom.
He's like feeling. He's filling them up, eh?
Because, and he's like, what did he say? He goes, sorry, I've only got two hands. He goes, man, how many more hands do you need? Shit. That actor, Benny, I think he's probably the most overhyped actor, I reckon.
Oh.
After the whole, like, the screaming and yelling, it was kind of, like, weird.
Yeah.
It was too much. I think it was too much.
We'll get to that category anyway. It was any other scenes you thought was iconic? It's funny because I never quite gave much attention to the last 15 minutes of the movie.
What, when they're on the mountain?
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of boring. Like the whole putting his hand on the button to make the the alien technology work startup. Probably like the part when Corrigan has his death scene. But yeah, for some reason it didn't really gel with me. The climax of the movie.
Oh, okay.
The end fighting scenes and that. Have you got any more iconic scenes?
Nah, I'm done.
Okay, next category, your most favorite scene. What's your most favorite? It doesn't have to be that one. It can be anything.
Probably the scene where Quaid and Marlena were almost about to get ambushed in the reactor. Richter and his henchmen were setting themselves up in that place where there's poles, and then they use the Quaid uses the hologram.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like that part.
Yeah.
There's one part where he goes, where like the soldiers come over to him, and he laughs.
You think this is the real Quaid? It is.
Like, he's already done the first scene where he tricks them with the hologram.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is with him laughing.
He acts like the hologram.
Yeah, he acts like the hologram and he turns around and shoots the American. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. He says something, eh?
He goes, "Is it me? Do you think it's the real me?" He goes, "Yes, it is.
That's really nice.
Yeah. I was like, "Fuck, what a quick up count." It's that, and now when he goes with Richter up in the elevator.
Yeah, you're coming with me. See you at the party, Richter.
All right, he rips his arms off.
See you at the party.
See you at the party. Yeah.
See you at the party, Richter. I was like, man, that's a badass line. Because it was funny because he said that Richter said that line to him when he was about to get his mind erased with him and Melina.
He asked first day. He said, "Oh, will you remember anything?"
Yeah.
He goes, "No." Then okay. And then he punches him in.
Yeah.
See you at the party.
See you at the party.
So, well, what I got, my favorite scenes, man, I love the scene when Quaid kills Harry and the three other guys he's with.
Come on, I'll buy you a drink. Listen, I'm already late. Thank you very much. But...
Hey, come on,
bring him out down here. Hurry. Come on, move it. Let's go get that drink.
What is going on? What the fuck did I do wrong? Tell me.
You blabbed, Quaid. You blabbed about Mars.
Are you crazy? I don't even know anything about Mars.
You should have listened to me, Quaid. I was there to keep you out of trouble.
Harry, you're making a big mistake. You got me mixed up with somebody else.
Uh-uh, pal. You got yourself mixed up with somebody.
Yeah, that was badass.
That was badass. And I remember it was badass when I first saw it when I was a kid. Because those were one of the scenes that stood out. Just how violent it was. Yeah. You know? And with... Yeah, just the sound of the gun when he shoots the last guy. And just the blood on the walls and blood on the ground. Like, I've never seen... I don't think I've seen... violence like that. To me, it looked real when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, more real than anything else I've seen.
And you know what? You know about that scene? You know the crackling noise?
Yeah.
And he grabs their necks?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, when I heard it again, because I was wearing my headphones, I was like, oh fuck, that's gross.
Yeah.
When he grabs his mate and he has him on the ground, and then he puts his foot over his throat and he just crunches down on his neck.
Yeah.
You hear that. And he grabs the other guy in the headlock, and then,
oh, it's good. It's good foley. Yeah. It's good foley, and with the sound effects and that.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing to John Wick, man. Straight up.
But yeah, man, true. That's a John Wick kind of. That's what John Wick would have done, eh? You know the sound of the gun.
Yeah.
The guns. That's the same sound you hear in Robocop, man. Hey, the same sound. Yeah.
Eh? It's real loud.
If you think about it, the initial gunshot and the echo.
Yeah.
That comes with it, it's distinctive, eh? Like, you hear the same sound in Robocop. And I think you hear it in, it might be a little bit different, but it's like when you watch, what's his name? Or when you watch Walter Hill movies. When you watch his movies, his gunshot sounds are the same, too. That's what I picked up with this film and the rest of Paul Verhoeven's action movies. You know, one of those dudes that he fights, the guy he hits on the head and the...
And the blood comes out.
And the blood comes out. And then he shoots him from the back.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys, eh?
Yeah.
That you always see in other movies. Yeah, I think he's a stuntman, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's one of the men... He's in Robocop as well.
Oh, okay.
I think he's one of those drug dealer guys in the...
In the drug dealer scene where they're in the warehouse.
Yeah.
And he's standing next to the guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the first... Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, it's that guy.
But I think... Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So one of those three guys is that guy. And I think that's going to be a new category in Late Returns film review. That guy. Because there's a couple of that guys in this movie.
Yeah, well, you see this... whenever you see the same director move around with whatever movie he's doing, he usually brings the same kind of actors along.
Yeah.
Especially the extras.
Yeah.
Like if he needs a henchman, he'll bring the same henchman along from the other movie.
Yeah, that's right.
You kind of see that with certain directors.
Mm. So yeah, so that guy is that guy. And I think there's another that guy too. The guy where when Quaid's going to Mars and he's in that train thing and he talks to a guy with a beard.
Oh, the biker-looking dude.
Yeah, he's another that guy. Hey.
Yeah, he's been around.
You've seen him in some movies too.
I don't know.
That guy. Even Michael Ironside, Richter's second in charge, the guy with the scanner.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a that guy too. He's on Biblio's Cop. He's one of the bad guys on Biblio's Cop.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But yeah, I like that scene because of the violence and that when he kills Harry and those three guys. But I like the camera shot at the end of it when the camera's in the front and then it swaps to a top view.
Yeah, and it pans up.
Eh? Looks down and it pans up and see the car go across. Man, yeah, that's a cool shot, man.
But the favorite part of that scene that I liked was when he gives that guy the backhand and the guy's face just like all the blood just pops out of his nostrils. I was like, oh shit, that's that's probably realistic, because I've actually seen it a few times, and that's pretty realistic. I was like, man, pretty close.
My other favorite scene is, you mentioned that before, when they're chasing Quaid and he runs up the escalator, and the escalator's packed full of people, and you've got Richter and that guy coming up behind them, and you got the other men at the top. They pull out their machine gun, start firing. Innocent people are getting in and... You know, getting sprayed with bullets, and the poor guy that's in front of Quaid, he gets shot, and then Quaid uses him as a shield. And that's what we're talking about before. We see all the massive blood splatters. Eh? Reminds me of the executive on Robocop getting blood splattered by 8209. But and then it's funny because Richter starts shooting behind, and he turns around. Eh?
Yeah.
And he froze the body at them. And then he turns around and runs. And then, you know, he runs off at the top of the escalators. And when Richter and the second in charge get to the top, they just run and stand on top of the dead body.
It was funny how the camera showed the dead body on the ground, and then Richter and then them just stepping on the body. Yeah. And then the pants to them chasing down. I was like, what the hell? I wanted to make sure that the audience saw them stepping on the body, disregard for human life. I was like, shit.
And the other scene I liked is when Quaid goes to the, I think it's like a hotel room, and he gets the safety deposit box, and he gets there's a note in there, and he writes, and he sees the handwriting, and in the handwriting it says Melina, and he writes Melina, and it looks, it's the same, so he wrote it, you know?
That's I never got that until today.
Yeah.
So today when I rewatched it, and I was going, why is he writing his name, Melina's name again?
Yeah.
I was like, because he wanted to know if he did it.
Yeah, it's the same handwriting.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Next category, going upstairs, TMO. A scene you really need to watch in slow motion. Which one did you put for that? The scene I got was Valo Carhagen's his death scene.
Oh, that is slow-mo.
Yeah, I want to see that in slow motion.
Nah, I don't have one.
All good. Favorite movie quotes. So one I got was, consider it a divorce when he blows away Sharon's dad.
Yeah.
And when he kills Richter, see you at the party, Richter.
Fuck, that was, that still makes me laugh when I think about it. It's just the whole scene, eh, when he's holding his arms. Mm. I'll see you at the party, Victor. Really frightened him away. I couldn't stop laughing. Fucking classic, bro. This one line is an arm, bro. Straight up.
Yeah. I think these are the underrated ones, eh? Because the ones with the famous ones we know, like Hasta La Vista, Baby, I'll Be Back, but Get to the Chopper, but consider the divorce and See You at the Party, Victor, that's, you know, they're up there, eh?
Hold up, bro. They should be, like, right next to those. They're iconic as well.
Yeah. There's the Benny, Baby, You Make Me Wish I Had Free Hands.
That's creepy.
There's that scene when Tony comes up to Douglas Quaid and says, "You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here, Hauser." And then Quaid goes, "Oh, look who's talking."
Yeah, and after that he goes, "Relax, you'll live longer." that's another good one. I was like, "Whoa, this guy." And the man took it too. He just took it and then carried on with his job.
Okay, next category. The Dalian Award. The best performance in the movie, you reckon?
I reckon Sharon Stone.
Yeah, that's what I got.
I reckon she was the best performance in the whole movie.
Yeah. I still think Arnold can't act, eh?
Arnold's got it.
He tried his best, though. But Sharon Stone, yeah. For me, it was toss-up between Sharon Stone and Michael Ironside. But I think Sharon Stone just showed her wares, eh?
Yeah.
Like, I think with being Paul Verhoeven movie, Sharon Stone's performance, like we said before, she sort of auditioned for Basic Instinct, eh? Because, man, that beginning scene when Douglas Quaid wakes up for his bad dream and how Sharon Stone is just there, she's pretty sexy, eh?
Yeah, that's why when I watched it again and I saw that scene, I was like, holy shit, she's mean back in the day.
Mm.
And I was, man, that's powerful. That's a powerful scene
with
her character.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I saw that scene. I was like, man.
Yeah, even with her fighting. Because that's her doing the moves, eh?
Yeah, because she actually trained for that too.
Yeah, she trained for that movie. So, you know, to do that and to be serious at the same time, to be sexy, you sort of see action Sharon Stone along with sexy Sharon Stone, eh?
Yeah, and conniving Sharon Stone.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, I think she was the best performance. The reason why I put her ahead of Michael Ironside, because even though Michael Ironside did a good job of being the bad guy, I think that's what he was, just a bad guy. There was no ups and downs. He was just straight, eh?
Yeah, there was no other thing he could do. He was just limited to being the bad guy. Where Sharon Stone, she had to be the loving wife, and then next minute she turned into a fucking assassin. And the next minute she's this kinky-ass biatch. So it's like, fuck.
Yeah, man. You're right, man.
You kind of go to different elements.
Mm. You're right, man. Yeah, I'll give it Sharon Stone as well. Okay, the Ruben Fawn Award. The weakest link acting performance in the movie. Who did you give that to?
No, Johnson, bro. Benny. Fuck, that guy was weak.
Hey.
Fucking weak, man.
I thought he was good.
Yeah. It's weird, like, well, you know, with this director, with all the black guys that he has in his movies, it's like they have to act a certain way.
Mm.
Say that, yeah, I'm African American. I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad, but I'm just saying that it's too fucking loud.
I had Harry, that was the guy that works with Douglas Quaid at the construction site.
Man, I didn't even think about that dude.
Robert Costanzo was his name. Yeah, I thought he was the weakest link. He could have been anyone.
I was just laughing at that scene with Benny when he's in that drilling machine. And he goes, "Where are you?" And then Arnold's like drilling on the side with that drill.
Yeah.
He goes, "Screw you!"
Yeah.
And then he finally sees it. He goes, "Oh!" Like, this is over-exaggerating, mate. Come on. Take a look at
me. Yeah. The next one is the Civil Reese Award, the most overhyped or overacted scene by an actor. Now, the one I got was the actress that played the disguise that Quaid wore when he went to customs, when he went to Mars. Because the way she did her mouth and she was making those funny faces and the sounds, noises she was making, you know, she was really acting in the day. So I gave that Silver Reese Award to her. How about you?
Yeah, I did the same guy.
Which scene was that?
Yeah, the one in the check, though.
Oh, when he dies. Yeah.
I thought that was fucking joy.
Okay, next category. The Sky Tower of an actor. Is this the best movie of their career? Their whole career? Did you give a Sky Tower Award to any of the actors?
Probably Sharon Stone again.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think Basic Instinct she was better?
Well, because that gave her Basic Instincts because of that movie, didn't you think?
Yeah, but is that the best performance of their whole career? Like, Basic Instinct would be the number one.
Nah, you're right. Yeah, Basic Instincts would be the number one.
Yeah.
For Sharon Stone.
Yeah, not this one. Who would you give it to?
What's your one?
I gave it to Benny, the actor Mal Johnson Jr. Because when I look at what he does anywhere else, I haven't heard of these movies. He came on 2 episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which I haven't seen. A movie called Stag Road, which I haven't seen. Hideous, another movie. Which is a low budget.
Yeah. I saw him in the Star Trek one.
Yeah. Was it a better performance there?
Yeah, probably way better than what he did in Total Recall.
Really? Yeah. I gave it to... I thought Total Recall was his best thing in his career. Because, if you think about it, he was in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sharon Stone. If I was that guy, Mel Johnson Jr., I'd be telling my grandkids, man, I was in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sharon Stone, Michael Ironside. That was the best part of my whole career, man.
Yeah, true. That is true. But he still sucks as an actor. I can't agree with you with that one, but man, yeah. I don't have anyone else to back it up.
Would you give this Sky Tower Award to Michael Ironside?
Well, for this movie?
Yeah.
Best movie of his career. Man, he's had a few, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, this is not the only movie that he's done. Even in the next Karate Kid, he was way better than this. And Starship Troopers. And Top Gun. Shit. He was the man. I reckon Ronnie Cox. Craigan.
Oh, really?
But then again, you know, say that because he was the man or Robocop. So it's like, but it's the same kind of character. Nah, fuck, I think your guy wins, eh? Fucking eat us. You're Mel Johnson Jr.
You know, Ronnie Cox, Dick Jones. I think that's his guy to tell when he's Dick Jones on Robocop.
Yeah, that's his best character ever.
Yeah.
Dick Jones. Straight up.
I'm going to say this might be Michael Ironside, eh? For me.
Really?
That's our award for this movie.
For this movie.
Yeah, he's been in some other good ones, like V, Scanners, back in the day.
I mean, I love his performance on this movie, but he's done better than this. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good on Star Trek Troopers, too.
Bro, he's the man on there. Because you know how he acts as a tutor?
Yeah.
But when you see him in uniform, he's a totally complete different
beast.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. You're right, bro. I think he's Sky Tower is Starship Troopers, but this is close, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
I only remember that because of that guy Rico. He's like when he sees Michael Ironside, and like he remembers him from back in school, but he sees him as a soldier. He's like, holy fuck, this guy's different. He's violent.
All right. Cool. Next category, Sky Tower of anything. Is there anything gets the Sky Tower? I'm gonna give Sky Tower of movies that you extract a bug from your body.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's any movie.
You know what? I don't think you'll ever find anything like that in any other movie, especially that size. Well, you've had aliens come out of people's stomachs, but. Come on, Alva, nose. And with the nose still in peace, come on.
No, you're right. I reckon aliens will get the... I think aliens will get the Sky Tower for things coming out of your stomach.
Alien, yeah. Guaranteed.
Not Quarter. Yeah. I want to give it to Quarter. No way.
Nah. That was just... It looked like the child's play doll in the guy's stomach. Bro.
Yeah.
Chucky, yeah. It looked like Chucky.
So, what would you give Sky Tower to?
You're going to think this is dumb, bro. The female with the most breasts.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Nah, you're right, bro. This is SkyTel of free-breasted women.
I can't think of anything else. I was like, shit, what's the most iconic thing that I've seen? I've never seen any other movie, and all I could think about was the three breasts.
The only way that a movie will overtake a three-breasted woman if they did a movie with a four-breasted woman. That's the only way.
Who would have the balls to do that?
That was the only way you could take the SkyTel award off this movie for that.
Nah, that would be stupid if you try to attempt it. Yeah, there was, female with the most breasts in the movie.
Does this movie get the SkyTel award for an innocent civilian getting killed for no reason?
Yep, probably more than 1,000 times. I'm surprised nobody died with the train scene where Richter was just trying to shoot Quaid going through the window and everybody was ducking. I'm surprised he didn't hit anybody.
Yeah. In saying that, I don't think this takes the SkyTel award for the most gruesome death scene of a bad guy.
No.
Richter's arm's getting ripped off. I think there's worse.
Cohagen.
There's worse deaths in another movie, eh?
Yeah. Even with Cohagen's death at the end. Mm. I mean, that's pretty bad. Like, fuck. Yeah, eyes popping down and shit. And, fuck, when I watched it again today, and his tongue was like a mile long, I was like, fuck! That's pretty bad.
A worse death scene than Richter is on Last Boy Scout, when Marlo gets chopped up in the helicopter blades.
Mm. Well, that guy got comboed.
He got shot, eh?
Yeah, he got shot and then he fell onto the helicopter blades.
Yeah.
Poor Marlo.
Okay, next one. Michael Murdoch Award, the best food in the movie. Now, there wasn't much food in this movie, eh?
I didn't see anything. All I saw was, there was a scene with when Quaid went to go see Malena for the first time, but it was only jokes. I didn't see any food.
Right.
Probably that was the closest thing that was going to come to food. Yeah.
Well, the one I got was the chocolate bar when he puts the tracker in and feeds it to the rat. That was the only.
That's right.
That was the only food thing I saw in the movie. What's the score? Your favorite song, music score in the movie, and the scene it appears in?
The introduction of the movie at the beginning. It almost sounds like Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. I wonder if it sort of is the same composer. Let me look it up. Did you look it up? See if it was the same guy?
No, I didn't. But the beginning part of the song almost sounds like Conan the Barbarian. Well, it's funny too. You hear that theme song. It's really faint in the background on most of the scenes in the movie. You can hear it if you have headphones on.
Oh, Jerry Goldsmith. So Jerry Goldsmith did the score. What else did he do? Did he do Conan? No, Basil Poledouris.
Oh, wow.
So, interesting.
It's similar, right? But when you get further into the theme song, it starts going its own way. But that's just the two beginning beats of the song. It sounds like Conan the Barbarian.
Well, it's funny because Basil Poledouris, he does work for Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Must be his input, the director's input.
Because it says here he did Robocop. He did Robocop and Starship Troopers.
Oh, true. The old Machi son of Robocop. Yeah, my other score was when Quaid meets Malena in the bar.
Yeah.
Had a cheap ass song in the background.
I didn't have any, yeah. I thought it was hard to pick. But yeah, if I was to pick one, that intro score reminds me of Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of music with scenes, especially when it comes to movies like The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. The entire movie is filled up with massive scores. I love the entire movie and the music that comes with it. It's just like, shit, next level.
Okay, next category, throw it back or out. Does this movie stand the test of time?
Yo.
Well, I'll throw it back. As an action movie, it stands out, eh? It still stands, eh?
fuck yeah.
As an action movie. As a science fiction movie with special effects? I don't think so. I don't think so. It doesn't stand the test of time. I think technology has moved on. And, you know, we touched on Total Recall getting a remake. But maybe because I've forgotten. I watched it, but I forgot about it. Maybe it sucks. But this one is this one. Even though the special effects are old, it's still a better movie than the remake.
Exactly. I remember this movie more than I do the remake.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's like, man. Even when I rewatched it, because it's been a while since I rewatched it, I still remember parts of the movie, but I was surprised with the parts that I didn't remember.
Hmm.
So I was like, wow, this movie's mean. I wasn't even trying to convince my brother to watch it with me.
I think what doesn't stand the test of time is the wrong technology for that future.
Yeah.
You know, the phone booth, like you said, with the video, doesn't make sense. You still got a handset and you're still watching the camera, you know?
Yeah.
How bulky the devices are, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
fucking massive.
You know that scanner that they had to track Douglas Quaid? That was massive.
It's like an Epos machine, bro. Fuck.
That was massive. The people, and like we said before, no cell phones. I didn't see anyone with a cell phone. You know, no one's on their devices, no iPads. You know? And the special effects, man. I mean, the humans look fake as, you know?
Yeah, it was more visual effects, see? Yeah. But yeah, that's what they had at the time.
Yeah, but you know, amazingly, even though all the stuff sucked, the story was still mean. Oh, solid. No, the story wasn't even mean. It was the action,
Yeah, it was solid.
The action just overtook all these little things that we cringe, but the action is much better. Because the one-liners, it's Arnold. It's fucking Arnold, bro. What do you expect? Hey. It's fucking Arnold in his prime. You can't ask for more, man. You know, who cares about the fucking cheap stuff, eh? How about you?
Yep. Yeah, I'm the same.
Have you got a worst or annoying scene?
Yes, I do.
Hmm.
It's actually the same scene that I thought that was my favorite scene, where they're using the hologram. So we're going back to the hologram scene.
Hmm.
When Arnold steps in with the hologram, and then this guy's trying to ambush him.
Mm.
Did you notice something wrong with that scene?
No.
When they were ambushing him, they were facing each other.
Oh, there was crossfire.
Yes.
Yes. I didn't notice that.
How did they do crossfire? And then they hit each other. And then yet when they get to the next scene, somehow they do crossfire and then they hit each other. So I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, true that.
I was like, oh my gosh. So they're fucked up on this scene big time.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I think my most annoying scene was when the guy comes to trick him into thinking it's still a dream and told him to swallow the pill.
Fuck yeah, it was dry balls.
To me, that scene felt like it took ages, man.
That's probably one of the scenes there where it should have been cut up. It was a waste of time.
Mm. Or was the last ditch attempt to try and get him on par.
Yeah, but it was actually a good scene for Sharon Stone, where her character stepped in, and then again, she kicks him in the balls.
Yeah.
She likes his balls.
All right, next category, loose ends. Storylines of the movie which end, but you assume might happen next.
Man, that's a hard one for me. I keep going back to the end, if it was a dream.
Right.
If it was a dream. Because when I was young, I thought it was a dream. So I thought when you wake up, it will be back to Douglas Quaid. That's what I thought. When I watched this movie again, now with the more, with more effort, I can finally know now that it wasn't a dream. It was actually the true story.
Hmm. I think I want to probably see what happens to Mars after. Does everyone on Earth come to Mars? Is Mars now the new Earth? Second Earth. And how does that play out? How does it play out? Because how are they going to fill in the... Even though the atmosphere is there, there's no water to absorb, to do osmosis. They probably have to bring water from Earth, I guess.
No, because the water will come from the glacier that they melt inside the Mars's... Well, you know how he was talking about it?
Yeah.
And they had the glacier inside the Mars's core.
Right.
and the reactor was meant to melt that, cause the atmosphere, and then that causes rainfall to fall down. And kind of like recycles. Oh, that's my understanding of it anyway.
Yeah, nah, I didn't get that. I didn't see that part. I probably fast forwarded or something.
Yeah, no, because I was wondering, shit, how are they going to get the... But then when he was explaining how the reactor was going to melt the glass, it must have been a massive piece of ice in the middle of the planet, so there'll be enough for it to create its own ozone layer or some shit. Mm. But yeah.
Sweet. Should this movie be a TV series?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be. It has to have some really good writers, though.
Mm. What would it be about?
Sorry?
Would it be about after what happens or during? Or would it be a prequel, sort of?
I reckon it should be probably years after.
Right.
Yeah, years after or years before. No, I reckon years after. I don't think it should include the main characters. It should be like in the history of Miles.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I put no, but just because the remake sucked, you know? So yeah. It's kind of put me off, so nah. I reckon you shouldn't touch this film. It's good as it is, I think.
Yeah, the film will be good as it is, but if they do a TV series of it, they have to have some really good writers.
After the writer's strike.
Yeah, I know. Fuck.
Okay, the Shorten Shoot achievement. Swap out actors with New Zealand actors. Would it be a better performance? Who would suit the role?
Damn. Man, who have we got for our Kiwi actors? I reckon for Cohegan, Sam Neill, maybe?
Yep.
I'm just guessing.
No, he'll do that job.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be a better performance at it. Shit. The whale rhino chick, she could be the Malena.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Keisha Castle, right?
Keisha Castle Hughes, yep.
Because I think for the original role of Doug, I think they were going to use someone smaller. And I was thinking Anthony Starr or... Shit. Or Carl Urban.
I think I'll put Carl Urban as Richter.
As Richter?
And Anthony Starr can be Douglas Quaid.
Oh, shit. That sounds pretty mean.
Yeah. But they're both on, what do you call it? The Boys, eh?
Yeah. Mm. I don't. Mm. And they make a good combination.
Mm.
Yeah, they got actors' relationship.
Who would be Laurie?
From a Kiwi actor's perspective, let's have a look at the lists. Man, that's a hard one. I don't think I want to change it, eh?
Yeah.
I'll just leave it as Sharon Stone.
Yeah, now you got some good actors there to take the place.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone can come up to a level at that time.
Hmm. I'll probably put Rachel Hunter.
What?
In her prime.
Rachel Hunter, she can't even act.
She doesn't
know. What was she going to do this purse? disagree on that one, man. Rachel Hunter, my ass. Shit.
Okay, next category, Stephen Craddon, Intercept. What's a prop or clothing item in the movie you want to keep?
Oh, the mask.
What mask?
The Queen's mask. The old lady's Yeah, I want to keep that shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'll be down for that.
Oh, I'll get that thing that gets the bug up his nose. I'll keep that.
It looks like a projector.
Yeah.
Little claws on the end there.
I'll get that. fact check time. Give an interesting fact about the making of this movie.
I had a look at the top facts of this movie, and I found out that Arnold wasn't actually the first applauded actor for this movie. The director wanted somebody else, but Arnold actually got a different company to buy the rights for this movie so he could act in this movie and have pretty much control over the production of this movie. That's what I got when I looked into the whole fact checking stuff. Because Arnold was also a big fan of the director Paul, So he wanted him to direct this movie because he reckoned they had the same kind of style. I actually just looked it up just now. No, I actually looked it up before. So apparently Arnold was turned down for being too manly for the role. The actual director wanted somebody a bit more, not too hard up. So, you know how we chose Carl and Anthony Starr for the roles? They'll probably be perfect for it. Because he didn't want anyone too macho for the role. But Arnold turned, you know how Arnold turned this role around and made it work, right? And made this movie how it is now. It's fucking marvelous. Like, the man's got some skills. Even though we talk about his shitty acting.
Yeah. This is the most movie where he's making sound effects, eh? Like his... You know?
That's right. Yeah.
It seems like that happening. That
yeah, well, because he had more control over what he can and can't do with this movie. Because he really wanted the role. He recognized the role as... He recognized this movie as a big-time movie.
Mm.
He did.
So a fact places. I got is Patrick Swayze was supposed to play Douglas Quaid.
Yeah, this movie was actually a
production. But he ended up doing Roadhouse instead.
Yeah, thank God for that shit. That movie's the ball.
Roadhouse.
Yo. Fuck. Sometimes I thought I was Roadhouse.
But another interesting fact, which I found pretty cool, was so when they were shooting this movie, Michael Ironside, he was always on the phone in between takes.
Yeah.
Like always.
Yeah.
And then when Arnold pushed him, said, "Hey, what's going on?" Michael told him that his sister's got cancer and that he was always checking up on her. So Arnold got Michael to go to his trailer and they had a long talk, like a 3-hour talk with his sister, like a 3-way conversation with the sister, Michael's sister. And they talked about Arnold was telling them what exercises she should do, what kind of food she should be eating and all that. And it was very nice, you know. And Michael Einstein never forgot Schwarzenegger's his kindness at that moment. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. That was pretty neat. He kept everything quite like happy. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be fun working on the SA there.
Yeah, especially if he's in charge. You know, he'll have all these little games in it for the actors in it, just to keep them active.
Lincoln Hawk Life Lessons. What was your takeaways or lessons that you get from this film?
Oh man, that's a hard one. It's all so this movie's all about being somebody else. So I guess you have to be true to yourself, I think is what it's saying, this movie. Mm. If it's talking about different personalities where how you're this person but you enjoy being the other person, maybe you should be that. If that makes any sense.
I think the takeaway I got from this movie, and it actually shows it in the film. He escapes Rick and those guys when he jumps on the train. And he gets up and there's an ad on the TV in front of him saying, "Oh, don't worry about trying to recall. Come to the actual holiday. Like, pay to jump on this aircraft, take you to Mars."
Yeah.
Then he just shakes his head and smiles, you know?
Yeah, because he realizes then, he goes, "Shit, I should have done it the first time."
Yeah. So to me, taking away means, for me, it was like, man, there's no such thing as shortcuts, man. You know?
Yeah, it's a good take on it.
Don't spend your money on stupid shortcut. Just do it for real, you know? Will you make your kids watch this movie?
Hell no. Hell no. Nah, I'm not making my daughter watch this shit, man. Hell no.
I'll make my kids watch it, but what I'll do, I'll probably block their eyes with when the free titties show up. And the other scene I'll block their eyes with is when Koala shows up.
Man, there's a whole lot of blocking eyes shit in this movie, bro. Straight up. Nah, I'm not watching. Nah, hell no. She's going to go, Dad, what are you making me watch? And she'll tell her mum. Then her mum will tell me off.
Super. That's us, man. That's Total Recall.
Yo. Total Recall.
You know what? I'm going to go watch the remake, eh? I'm just curious what they did with the remake.
All I got from that remake was, all I remember now is Kate Beckinsale? Her performance in there was like, she was always this person that was always angry and moody.
Is she the Laurie character or?
Yeah, she's the Laurie character.
Oh, okay.
And her take on Laurie was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
She's always bitchy.
Yeah.
It's a hardcore bitch. It was weird.
I'll sit there.
I didn't take to her performance.
Oh, sweet, man. I'll check it out anyway. All right, man. What movie shall we do next? Next time you jump on.
Sully, man. Straight up, let's do Robocop. Let's get watch all this shit,
okay,
man.
Okay, sweet. All right, straight man. Up. That's us. Robocop. Robocop next.
Yo.
All right, brother. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you. Much appreciated.